Welcome to the Sunday evening services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, June 26, 1983, with Brother Ralph Bauer. We've certainly enjoyed his speaking to us. He and his family, missionaries in Trinidad. I'd like to turn the service over to Brother Bauer, and he can introduce our friends from McIntosh, and thank the Lord for you all as you're going to sing for us. Brother Ralph's going to sing maybe, and just have a good time of fellowship here tonight.
Okay, good night. You're getting good at it now, aren't you? Amen. Well, it's a good, real joy to be here, and I have to say he's got down here special music, Brother Bauer family, the Bauer family. I thought, boy, my goodness. So I'm glad the folks from McIntosh came in to my rescue tonight. But we were over there for 11 years in McIntosh area, and we're just so glad. I've been staying over at Vernie's couches, and I happened to say to her, you don't suppose you could get some of the folks come over tonight and sing for us? Now, the only problem was they had to leave their church. That wasn't the best thing to do. But anyhow, we're glad that they came. And they're going to sing a couple, I don't know what they got in mind tonight, but they used to sing for us over there. Of course, we had a lot more than it's here tonight, but we're glad some of them stayed over there. But we're glad that they could come, and Lord bless you as you sing for us tonight.
Sweet. Tears away and there. Once they get started, they don't quit.
Hey. You know, you sing along with us, man, okay? Whatever.
Thank you. have in Jesus. Let's just have a couple of them and praise Him tonight. Thank Him for that hope that we have in Christ. Would you just lead out in Him?
That song when we sing it, the sweet by and by, we always, it just does so much to us and means so much to us, all of us, and it's one of our favorites down here in Kentucky. But I always, my mind always goes back to those that don't have that hope. And many around the world who haven't even heard or had a chance to hear about that hope. Don't you think as Christians we owe it to them to hear the story of Jesus? Now, I believe in home missions, and I believe the mission field is white, is needy here. But did you know, and this is a fact, and I don't say this to belittle your work here, it's as great a mission field as any, but it's a fact that 95% of the Christian workers and pastors minister to 5% of the world's population. And 5% of the missionaries and Christian workers minister to 95% Well, that's how unbalanced it is. And that's why here in America, even though there's a lot of work to be done here yet, all you have to do is turn the radio on and you can hear the gospel story. And it seems like people, if they reject it here, they reject it knowingly. Reject it. But my heart is burdened for many who never hear the story of Jesus. And that's why missions is so much on my heart. But we need strong churches here. And I don't belittle the work here. Because if it wasn't for churches here, we could never have missions there. And that's why we need a strong church here to reach missions over there. But I think it should challenge your heart to really get behind your missions program. Turn in your Bibles again tonight to 1 Thessalonians. I hope you're not tired of turning to that precious book. But we've been in that book all weekend. And tonight we're going to look at chapter 2 a little bit. Before you do, I want to encourage you to stop at the table, as many of you have, as you go out. We have a little pamphlet here that some of you might be interested in, that it says Evangelism in Relation to Church Planting. A lot of times you hear mission statistics and reports about so many crusades, so many people were saved, or so many people were healed, and all this sort of thing. But you never really know what happens to them afterwards. And we have found that the real meat of missions work is in establishing the churches. And this is a little policy that our mission director a few years ago wrote up. He calls it evangelism with a purpose. And if any of you are interested in that, it's sort of a little bit of the goal. And maybe God will lay upon some of your hearts to be a missionary. Well, this one is how to get up and go. 10 steps to the mission field. Some things you have to face if you want to be a foreign missionary. And then, as I shared with you before, you want to put something in your garden to scare the crows away. Why, we have our family picture here. But seriously, take one or two. We have plenty. And we call them prayer cards. And it might be a reminder for us, for you to pray. And also a few other things. And then this one, maybe you've never picked it up, but it says, pray for the church in China. Did you know when the missionaries left China in 1949 or so, when they were driven out by the communists and millions of them were killed, did you know that the Chinese communists murdered 25 million people when they took over China in the first 8 or 10 years? If you didn't agree with their philosophy, you were dead. And among those 25 million, many of them, millions of them, were Christians. And after it was all over, there was 1 million Christians left in China, approximately. These are just guesses. But did you know today, now listen to this, after 30-some years, and the communists were doing everything to squash out missions, squash out the church in China, today there's an estimate that there's between 25 and 50 million Christians in China. Amen. You can't stamp out Jesus. Amen? That's right. They've got an underground church there that's strong. They don't have Bible schools and all the things that we have that we're so dependent on. They don't even have literature that we have, but they have Jesus. Amen? And many of them don't even have the Bible. But they hear the Bible read over radio, been beamed into China for 30 years. And they've written this Bible down as it comes over the radio. They've got radios beaming into China, reading it very slow so people can write it down. And thousands of Bibles have been copied by hand over the radio as people listen. Isn't that neat? You can't stop God's Word. And our mission director went back into China. Now China's opening up a little bit. And he went back into China, right where we used to have a work. Now, when he left there, 35 years ago, he had to leave. He was driven out. There were 3,000 Christians there. Today, there's over 10. Same little area. Amen. We got a church that can't be stamped out. Did you know that? Jesus said, he didn't say, I might build my church. He said, I will. It's exciting to be a part of it, isn't it? And someday we're going to be together. And we're going to see a little bit more than Airport Gardens Baptist Chapel. A little bit more than Camp Nathaniel. A little bit more than McIntosh. But we're going to stand before God redeemed from every tongue and nation of the world and sing praises to our Savior. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? You looking forward to that day? And then also we have, that was an extra message. I hadn't planned on that. Then we also have our last prayer letter that we sent out. And on the back is some of the needs that we still have before we can go back to Trinidad in August 29th. We're trusting the Lord to remove those needs in His time. Let's pray together. Lord, it's been so good to be here this week and fellowship with these folks. And we pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would have changed our hearts for eternity. To be more concerned about a world in need of Jesus. We commit our service to You tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been looking in 1 Thessalonians. I think Thessalonians is a great missionary book. A great missionary book. But throughout this book, well, in chapter 1, we see the purpose of missions in verses 9 and 10. I hope you've underlined the last part of those verses. How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. But then as you get into chapter 2, Paul, we find the person of the missionary. What kind of a missionary was Paul? And I think this chapter 2 opens up a little bit of Paul's methods as a missionary, or more probably than any other chapter in the Bible. I want to just read it and comment on it tonight in closing. Verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain. You know, don't we, our work for God, we don't want it to be in vain, do we? You know, I'm convinced a lot of the times our work for God is just in vain. We do things haphazardly without prayer. We just do things because we've always done it. Sometimes it's in vain. It really is. Just because we say hallelujah or praise the Lord and sing a few songs don't mean we're really in it for God. You know that? That's right. And Paul was really concerned about that. That his work not be in vain. And verse 2, he says, even after we had suffered before, and we were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now, before he came to this place, Thessalonica, he was at Philippi. And he says, we were bold there. You remember what happened when they were at Philippi? You remember he was thrown in prison? You remember the earthquake came? And at midnight, they were saying, oh God, why did you put us in this dungeon? Is that what they were doing? What were they doing? Praising God and praying at midnight. Amen. In the midst of it all. Now he said, we were there first. Then we came here to Thessalonica. And we had much contention here too, but we were used to it. Verse 3. For our exhortation or our preaching was not of deceit or uncleanness or in guile. Now, he describes his preaching. I want you to look at it. Verse 4. we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Now, I've underlined that word in the Bible, trust. First of all, Paul was trusted as a banker. When Paul got saved, God gave to him a trust. It was the gospel. And that word trust is the same word that is used sometimes, like when you would deposit some money in a trust fund or in a bank. Now, when you go to a bank and you put your money in a bank, you don't go and say to that teller, "Now, I don't know if I can trust you or not. Maybe you're going to steal my money from me." No, somehow you just trust the bank, don't you? Now, let me tell you something. When you got saved, the Lord gave you a trust. It's the gospel of Jesus. Paul says we have this treasure in clay jars or earthen vessels. That's what he says. You've got a treasure, my friend. It's the greatest treasure in the world. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How you doing with that trust? If you had $1 million, would you put it in clay jars? I don't believe I would. But God entrusted something into just an old clay jar. And that's His Holy Spirit and His treasure that He's given you. Put in this old vessel of mine and yours. Amen? Did you know is it there? Is the Holy Spirit there? Is Jesus there? Then God's given you a trust. And He's trusted you. Paul was trusted as a banker. Trusted as a banker. Now look at verse 5. We're just going right along. It's kind of rich. I just love this. "For neither at any time," he said, "used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is a witness, nor of men sought we glory." Boy, isn't that something? "Neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse." Now, I've underlined the word nurse. Not only was he trusted like a banker, but he was trained as a nurse. You know, a nurse, you just don't go out and do nursing. You have a little training, don't you? Now, I don't mean that you have to go off to Bible school and get training, but I believe if you're saved and you want to go in the Lord's work, it's good to get some good Bible training and good Bible teaching. But somehow you need training. Maybe if you get in your local church or where it is, you know, I wouldn't trust myself to a doctor who didn't have a little training. That's right. And you've got a pastor teacher here who's your trainer. And he's here to train you and teach you. And God expects you and I to be trained to serve the Lord. Amen. I didn't hear any amens, but it's true. That's right. You need to get out there and be trained and serve God. Now in Trinidad, like I told you the other night, when we go into a village, we expect God from... Like, say, if we came into Airport Gardens and started a church, if Airport Gardens was in Trinidad, if we could imagine that, we would expect that Brother James would come in as a missionary and would train you folks, and maybe in a couple, 3 years, or 4 or 5, however long it took, he could leave this church, and some of you men and women would be trained to just take over this work. And he could go start another church somewhere. You see. Train! Now, there's no place in the Bible that says you have to have a paid pastor to come into a church and teach the Word of God. Now, I know this sounds foreign to you, but I want you to hang on to it a minute. We have some of our most successful churches in Trinidad are where men, laymen, are the leaders, the deacons or elders, whatever you want to call them. And they are the pastors and teachers, and they give themselves to the Word of God and to teaching the Word of God. In fact, one of our churches went over, and the men themselves started another church, even without a missionary. All we did was we helped a little bit in the crusade. Train men and women. Amen. And here's your trainer right here. Praise God. Well, trained as a nurse. But more than that, now look at verse 7. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Not only was Paul trained as a nurse, but he was gentle and affectionate like a mother. Her children. Now you see, look at that. You see, a nurse is good, but you know, probably if that child is the nurse's own child, she'll give it even a little more affection and love. You know what I mean? So not only was Paul trained, but he looked upon his people as he was like a mother to them. And you know, that's very interesting. You know, a mother is willing to give not only time, but give herself to those children. To love them and nurture them and bring them up in the things of God. And you know, that's what a pastor is in today. It's not only a man who knows the Word, but a man who loves his people and gives himself to them. Let me try to illustrate. One time there was a doctor whose wife died. And he hired a maid to come in and to take care of his children. He had four children. So this doctor had to leave every morning at 6. And he would get home every night about 6. So he hired this maid. And this maid would come in at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then when the doctor would come home, why, she'd have the house all prepared and ready. Then she'd go leave at 6 o'clock at night. So he hired her. She had a job. She was trained as a maid. But then they fell in love. And they got married. Now, she still worked those 12 hours for him. But she worked 12 more hours for him. In other words, it was a different labor now. It wasn't just pay. It was a labor of love. And that's a mother's love. You see, that's the difference. And Paul says, as Christians, we're to love people, even as a mother. He says, I love them. Now look what he goes on, verse 8. He says, I was affectionate, desirous of you. I was willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only. Isn't it enough just to give them the gospel? But look what he says. Not the gospel only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. Isn't that a mother? A mother doesn't only say, do this, but she gives herself to her children. Love. And that's what God is saying here. Boy, this is beautiful. Then, verse 9. So not only was he trusted as a banker, trained as a nurse, loved like a mother, gentle and affectionate, but verse 9, we remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, we would not be chargeable to any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Not only that, but he worked like a laborer. He labored. He was a laborer. He was trusted as a banker, trained as a nurse, loved and affectionate like a mother, and he worked like a laborer. Did you know sometimes the work of God is just plain hard work? Did you know that? That's right. You know, each one of our fields. Team is in 27 fields around the world. We have over 1,100 missionaries in 27 different countries. And we had one representative from each of those fields meet last year in June. And I was the representative from Trinidad. We got all 27 of us got together for 2 weeks to pray and share together God's work on these different fields and study around the Word of God. And we were thinking that some of the missionaries coming out today are having a lot of struggles, and some of them quit after a while, and we were talking a little bit about this. And then we asked the question, how many of... we were saying, what is it? What is it that's different? And we found this, that of the 27 missionaries that were there, at least 23 of us were raised on a farm. And we learned what it meant to do a day's work. Now, that's not the number one qualification, but it's very important in the work of God that you know how to labor. You know how to work. Because serving God sometimes is just plain hard, sweaty work. Amen. That's right. Thank you. All right. So Paul said he labored like a laborer. You know, I'll tell you, a workman just don't give up when the going's tough. I remember when we were in Kapar, you saw the pictures tonight, some of you did. And we went into this village and we had a crusade there. This was after some of them were, a number of them were saved, and we were working there a couple years. And we had a crusade, and it was during dry season. Now, we have a dry season there. And during dry season, it never rains much, just a little bit, once in a while. So that's why we had the meeting during dry season, because the area that we were having the meeting, it was, if it rains much, it gets wet and floods. So would you believe, about a day before we started, the rains came down, right in the midst of dry season. And we said, "Oh God, we believe that you want us to have this crusade. Stop the rains." So we put up the tent and started the meeting, and the rains came down. And we said, "Oh Lord, if it keeps raining, this meeting is going to be stopped. Lord, you can stop the rain. It's the dry season, Lord." And the rains kept coming. And the Hindus said this, "Ha ha, look at their God. Here it is in the midst of the dry season. And their God is bringing all this rain." And they mocked us and made fun of us. And finally, about the fifth night, the rains came down so much that it washed into the tent, washed the benches out of the tent and down the river. And they had to go after the benches. And we got back there the next day, and here the whole thing was a mess.